Well, let's do turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22, believe it or not. Proverbs 22. Last week, for those of you who weren't here, we did a survey of the entire book of Proverbs. And do any of you not have outlines, the outlines I handed out last Sunday night? Dave doesn't have one. Anyone else? That's it. You've got it. Okay. Last week, we basically did an overview of the entire book. Of course, we've been through part one, which is on the left-hand side of your notes, which is basically first principles from a second father. And we saw there were 10 first principles, the 10 commandments of wisdom. And for 9 months, we worked our way through those one by one. And now we have launched into the forest of Proverbs that everyone thinks of when they think of the book of Proverbs, one proverb after another. And we saw that Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes 12:9, says that the preacher pondered, searched out, and set in order many proverbs. That means, in the Hebrew, he set in logical order. We know from elsewhere that he wrote 3,000 proverbs. And so of those 3,000, he selected out about 1,000 or so, and he pondered, searched them out, and set them in order. So that's what we find from the book of Ecclesiastes. So then we went back to the book of Proverbs, and we found that in these chapters, we literally have, as you'll see under Ecclesiastes 12:9, flashes of insight that are arrayed in constellations of instruction in each of these chapters. Flashes of insight arrayed in constellations of instruction that are really powerful. And we're going to launch into chapter 10 and work our way through those chapters starting next week. But this week we're going to continue our overview, because under that you see the general catalog, point A, and then the classified catalogs, point B. And between the general catalog, which is chapters 10 to 22, and the classified catalogs, chapters 22 to 29, there's an interlude. An interlude, chapter 22, 17 to 21. And in this interlude, he tells us his main goal through all of these chapters. And so today, and actually also next week, we're going to look at this main goal, this kind of banner that you can stretch over all of the Proverbs, in which there's a powerful, powerful principle that we're going to be looking at over 2 weeks. And then we'll launch into chapter 10 and work our way chapter by chapter all the way to the end. But the interlude is in chapter 22, verse 17, where he tells us what he wants to do with these proverbs and why he wrote them, both the ones that came before the interlude and the ones that come after. He says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your mind to my knowledge, for it would be pleasant if you keep them within you, store them inside, do something with them on the inside, keep them." That's a powerful word. It has to do with meditation and pondering and thinking about. "Keep them within you that they may be ready on your lips." Isn't that interesting? And then he goes on to say it in a different way and tell us why he wants us to do that. "So that your trust may be in the Lord, rather than in anything else in life, so that you may have certainty in the Lord, if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips." As they're ready on our lips, as we speak them, it increases our certainty of the truth. And as we keep them within us, "so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you, even you. I have written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge, to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer him who sent you." What is he saying here? He's saying the ultimate application for every one of these 400 preceding proverbs and the scores of proverbs that are going to come after that is that you may keep my word, these words within you, that they may be ready on your lips. And then in verse 21, he gives a specific instance where they need to be ready on our lips, where we're called to correctly answer him who sent you. A better translation is that you may correctly answer those who sent for you. The idea being, they send for you to get some wisdom from you, so that you may give a word of wisdom like an apple of gold in a setting of silver that God has created, whether with friends at work or friends at home, family at home, or whatever, that you may correctly answer the need of the moment, that they may be ready on your lips, that you may give sound wisdom to someone who needs it. Keep them within you. And we'll see today, tonight, what keep means, that they may be ready on your lips for that reason. And as we do that, that process of keeping them within, ready on our lips, we come to know ourselves, the certainty of our faith. And we come all the more to trust in God. As we do that with His Word. So, that's the overview. That's the overall idea. That's the overall application of what He wants us to do. And we're going to focus on that for 2 weeks. Keep my words within you, that they may be ready on your lips. After Solomon's clear cue, the author's clue of what he wants us to do with them. So, for this week, keep my words within you, which means a lot of things. It means fundamentally that our Christianity is supposed to be from the inside out, not just from the outside in. It's supposed to be authentic and integral to who we are on the inside, and not hypocritical, just stuff we spout off, like the Christian right too often is spouting off the truth without ever internalizing it and practicing what they preach. Got to start with keep my words within you. It means that Christianity is supposed to be from the inside out. We know that from the New Testament. It's clearly taught in the Old Testament, and here's one of the places. You know, it's entirely possible, as you all know, to have the word ready on your lips without having it rooted in your heart. It was true of Satan when he used the scripture readily to tempt Christ. The scripture was ready on his lips, but it certainly was not in his heart. It was true of Israel, according to Jeremiah, when he said, "Thou art near to their lips, but far from their mind." That means kidneys, which means heart. The Pharisees were that way, according to Christ. These people honor me with their lips. They're all right in what they say, at least a lot of the time, but their hearts are far from me. Matthew 15:8. I wonder, you know, if we sound like that sometimes, or I know I did back in my early years, perhaps with my kids. There's one word that summarizes this spiritual condition, and it's called insincerity at best, hypocrisy at worst. And this teaching keeps us from wandering away into being hypocrites. It's so easy to be self-deceived. It's what outsiders hate about Christians. It's what parishioners most hate to see in pastors who say it all right from the pulpit, but their lives might not match it. Or it might not be truly sincere from the heart. Someone said what people need to see in the pulpit is sincerity, sincerity, sincerity. Something I've always got to work on, because it's so easy to fall away from that. Where it's really me and not just preaching. It's what kids most hate to see in parents. You know, all walk, no talk. All head, no heart. All show, no glow. Externals without internals. So many ways you could put this powerful principle that we see in the middle of the book of Proverbs. That's why the Lord says to parents in Deuteronomy 6, "These words which I commanding am I, that I am commanding you today, first, shall be on your heart." And then it says, and then he says, that you may talk about it when you sit, rise up, when you sit down, when you walk by the way. It's got to start, though, in the heart. That's why David said, "I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Thy law is within my heart." Jeremiah 31:33. This is the covenant that I make with them, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. In their heart I will write it. And so Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. This is that principle of Solomon in the New Testament. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within me, within you. And then it goes on to say that teaching one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs and all the rest. Same dynamic. Richly within, and then it'll be in the right way on your list. And it's got to be both. Not just richly within without speaking. That's some people's problem. Not just speaking without richly within. That's other people's problems. It's got to be both. That's how we unleash God's wisdom, God's power, God's truth into our spheres of influence as we keep His words within us and as they are ready on our lips. There's so much here. So, he says in chapter 22, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. We're going to talk about the internal tonight. Apply your mind to my knowledge, for they will be pleasant if you keep them within you. The question is, how do you do that? A lot of different ways. You've probably heard of the hand illustration that the Navigators is famous for. It's what I was raised on as a navigator kid. Missionary kit, where it stands for how we gain a handhold on the Word of God that's real and authentic. And so the thumb is for meditation. Without meditation, you don't get any kind of handhold. The little finger is hearing. That's the little, it's important. A lot of things you can't do with your little finger, but it's not the biggest. Though it's important. And it's hard for me to say that as a preacher, because I'm talking about what I'm doing right now. Okay, if you got meditation with hearing, you've got kind of a good handhold on God's word, but it's not the best, is it? Second one, hear, read. This is what we do on our own in our daily devotions and elsewhere. So if you hear and read with meditation, it's a better grip, but not the ultimate grip. So you've got hearing, reading, studying. Like we do with Dick Atwood on Wednesday morning, like many of you do alone and in Bible study groups. If you hear, read, and study all with meditation, that is a pretty good grip. But the ultimate grip is hear, read, study, memorize with meditation. Then you've got a firm grasp of God's Word. You're keeping it within your heart in a powerful way. That's one way you incline your ear and listen, by hearing, reading, studying, and memorizing with meditation. And there are so many other ways. One way Julie likes to use, she loves to listen to podcasts. They're all during the week, podcasts of sermons and of wise people like James Dobson and many others. And there's a constant stream flowing into her mind that's powerful biblical principles and biblical truth. You can do it through worship. There's nothing like worship to get the truth of God consummated in your heart. So we like to listen to worship songs at home and in the car. And I know many of you do as well. That's another way of keeping His Word within you. I have a stack of prayer cards that I use. In addition to the cards with all the people in the church that are on them. And these prayer cards are scripture cards that I've collected over the years. Ones that really motivate me as I pray for the church and for different situations. And it's about that thick now. And as I pray through those scriptures, they so get into my heart. And there's the Spirit of God so moves with conviction of how powerful and how important these things are. Not just for them, but for me. That's another way of keeping His words within you. In the middle of the night, like many of you, I've got scripture memorized. And so in the middle of the night, when I wake up and I feel burdened with stuff that's going wrong in the church or in life in general or whatever, I'll often sense a need to do what my mom was so faithful to do, and that is just to praise God. She knew how to praise God and get above things. And so for that reason, Julie and I, long ago, chose as our life passage of Scripture Psalm 103. And we memorized it together 30-some years ago when we were first dating. And so I'll just bring that to mind if I can't sleep. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all. And I'll say, Lord, compared to what You've done, I've got nothing to ask. Right? Who pardons all your iniquities. No care compares to what I've been spared. An eternity in hell. Thank You, Lord. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems. Lord, if You let this fallen world go the way of all flesh, I'd be dead like that. I'd be consumed by the diseases of sin. You're holding back so much. You're healing so much. And if I could just see it, I wouldn't complain about this physical ailment nearly as much as I do. Who redeems Your life from the pit. Lord, You've brought me out of pits like the one I'm worrying about night, like right now, over and over and over again. Forgive my lack of faith. Who crowns You with loving kindness and compassion. I'm feeling rejected. I'm feeling whatever by whoever. And yet, Lord, You crown me with Your love. I can lift my head high with the kind of innocent pride of a child who knows that he is loved by the only Father who matters. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. Lord, you're not just a grandfather in the sky. You do intervene. And you do execute judgment. And it's not up to me. And I don't dare touch the sword. I'm not going to do it with that person. I'm just giving them to You. I'm praying for them. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. You've proven You've done that from way back in Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. I don't need to fear of you, any shadow of turning in Your love, so it doesn't matter who else turns. And on it goes. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He's mindful that we are but dust. You have compassion on my weaknesses, so I don't have to fear Your rejection. And so I'll pull that one out and keep that within me. And it makes it real for me. And so when I get up in the pulpit, it's real for You. Or maybe when I'm feeling a spiritual battle. We struggle not against flesh and blood, right? We think the problem is the people. But that's not the problem. It's the powers that know how to push all their buttons, their pawns. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so when I'm feeling oppressed in that way, and that does happen, I'll pull out Psalm 35. Which does wonders when it comes to the forces of darkness around us. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. I don't know how many times I'll say that at 3 a.m. in the morning. Take hold of buckler and shield and rise up for my help. Draw also the spear and the battle axe and meet those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be ashamed and dishonored who speak insults against me. Let those be turned back and humiliated who devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. Let them be, and then it goes on, and my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. I shall exalt in His salvation. You're going to come through in those spiritual forces against them. And I feel them against me, but Father, in my prayer, I'm praying that You would defeat them. Thank You that You will. Thank You that You have. And it's a powerful, powerful psalm. Psalm 35. Against, at least, is it Psalm 35? I forget the Psalm 35. Against the forces of dark. Keep my words within you. Is so important. If there's any secret to internalizing the Scripture, to getting it from the head to the heart, from your talk into your walk, it's that. For Christianity to be from the inside out is for the Word of God to be from the inside out. And that makes Him from the inside out in our lives. That makes Him real, both to us and to others. So, That's kind of the overall teaching here, the first part of the banner that Solomon writes over the whole book of Proverbs. And if you think about it, it's not surprising that he does this, because the fact is, our minds are the most important thing when it comes to our lives, when it comes to our sanctification. As a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. So, sanctification is not a matter of works, of deeds, but it is a matter of thoughts. If there's a work to sanctification, it has to do with our thoughts. And of course, it's God Himself that gives us the ability to think the right thoughts. That's even Him. But it's not deeds, it's thoughts. The whole of life flows out of what we think. So this is a powerful and essential principle that he has here. The fact is, you will be meditating on one thing or another. We're always doing it, whether we're awake or asleep. The only question is what it's going to be. Thoughts, both vague and definite, feelings, impressions, images, are constantly coursing through our minds. It's what it means to be alive. The brain waves, the thoughts, never stop. And we know that scientifically. They keep percolating up. They're so regular that we take them for granted. You can't stop thinking. You do it incessantly on many levels, from conscious to subconscious. We're always meditating on one thing or another. But here's the rub. Thanks to the fall, we've abdicated a good deal of our control over that process to our flesh. To setting our minds on the things of the flesh, not the things of the spirit. I do it all the time. I do it all through the night sometimes, until I wake up and choose against it. Whether they be fears or anger or depression or just a vague sense of lack of peace, all of those are thoughts that just course through us so often as we live on autopilot in our minds. And so the secret of growing as a Christian, the secret of rising above it, as Paul says, is to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that's why it's so critical to be in a church like this, where the word is proclaimed, the word is talked about, from the pulpit down to the prayer closet. Because all of that impacts our thinking. It's truth in thinking. Transformation by truth in thinking. And the transformation is, like Solomon says, in our lips as well as in our lives. There's a stream of consciousness in us all that determines who we are and what we become. It's what Paul calls the spirit of the mind. The spirit of the mind is the way of thinking that we cultivate. That is not just thoughts, but patterns of thinking. The spirit of our minds. That we can change in their course by the truth that can set us free. So, I'm almost out of time, so I'm going to skip down here. Let me just see here. So let me just sum it up. According to this passage, you internalize God's word by inclining your ear to it, applying your mind to it, by meditating on it with a hearing heart in all the powerful ways he's given us to do that, especially these days. Keep that flow constant. That's Solomon's first point. Keep doing this. Keep his words well within you, coursing through you, and then something will happen. Now, important though that may be to keep them within me, the main point, let me just tee up next week, of the general application of the book of Proverbs, and so Solomon's main goal for chapters 10 to 22, is that these truths that we'll be studying, having been stored up on our hearts, they need to be consummated. And if we just store them up, that's not going to be nearly enough. They need to be consummated, he says, on our lips. So that's where we're headed. Because he's not promoting, he's promoting truth in speaking as we speak God's truth from the heart. And you see this in the New Testament because, why is that so important? We're going to see next week all the different ways in which this is taught in Scripture. But it's speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, that what? That we grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. He's not talking about preachers there, though it includes them. He's talking about all of us. As God gives us opportunity to consummate what's in our heart on our lips. And this is something I've really had to work at because I'm a more of a private person, more of an internalizer. I love to meditate on things. And when you might get the wrong impression from the pulpit where I'm always talking, but I'm not as talkative in real life. And I find, though, that if I choose to speak up, God's truth becomes so much more real for me as I look for opportunities. And it becomes powerful through me. And so that's going to be the main point next week. Keep my words within you this week, next week, that they may be ready on your lips. So, Father, I do thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given it to us and you've given us your Spirit who consummates your word in our hearts so that it can be consummated in our lips and in our lives. So, Father, we commit this teaching tonight to you, to that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.